Thank you again, Floyd, for that speech. I would like this chart, I would like you to notice it to help pinpoint or underline the difference between Floyd and me. And this chart's entitled, "It is not a shame for women to speak in the church." All of Floyd's arguments are made in an effort to prove that it is not a shame for women to speak in the church. Isn't that correct? You heard two speeches. Aren't all his arguments made in an effort to prove it's not a shame for women to speak in the church? Even though 1 Corinthians 14:35 plainly says it is a shame for women to speak in the church. The Bible says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak." Floyd says, "Don't let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is permitted unto them to speak." See the difference? That's a big difference. And I believe Floyd will admit his arguments are made to support this conclusion. But we'll let him tell us when he comes back up here. Floyd is trying to prove, you can check one of the two, Floyd, when you come back up here. It is a shame for women to speak in the church. That's what the Bible says, word for word in the King James Version. Or are you trying to prove it is not a shame for women to speak in the church? We'll let you check which one of those. Which of the above do you think he will choose? Audience, which of those two do you think he will choose? The Bible, Floyd is trying to prove it is a shame or it's not a shame for women to speak in the church. Which one do you think he'll choose? What? That's right. Which one do you think I would choose? Right? Yeah. Wrong or right, I think everybody knows which one we choose. Now, here's the question, the most important question. Which of the above do you think God would choose? Which of these two do you think God would choose? That's what's important, not what Floyd or I would choose. Do you think God would choose, it is not a shame for him to speak in the church? Or what he said, it is a shame for him to speak in the church? I think that's pretty clear. Another part of our discussion tonight that we haven't touched on it yet is, may women be pastors or elders? The discussion is centrally about women preachers, but Floyd also believes, and it's supposed to be part of the discussion, he believes in women elders. That it's okay for a woman to be an elder. Now, I don't think we need to go to these passages because we're all in agreement that pastors or elders are leaders or overseers of the congregation. So write those verses down if you don't understand that way and go back and check it and you'll see. But Floyd would agree with that. Elders are the overseers of the congregation. Now, as we go through this, we'll address some of the things you said, Floyd, about why, how could a woman who if a man asked her to speak, how could she be usurping authority over the man? We'll look at, that's what, part of what we're looking at right now. Now, notice in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, the Bible says the head of the woman is the man. Head simply means, it's an analogy, the human body, the head is the boss of the other parts or members of the body. That's just saying the boss of the woman is the man. Ephesians 5, 22-24 makes it more particular to the husband and wife. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. In a previous discussion, I asked Floyd if he was the head of his house over his wife. He said yes. So he obeys this verse. I wonder why. But he doesn't obey the verses we brought up before that are saying the same thing about in the church. At home, he obeys it. The husband's the head of the wife. And then in 1 Timothy 2, 11-12, it says, "Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." Let's emphasize this time, not usurping authority over the man. This is why a woman cannot be an elder, or a bishop, or a pastor. Because this position is an overseer over the congregation, but the Bible precludes a woman from doing that. She's not to be over the man. The man is the head of the woman. The husband is the head of the wife. She's to submit to him, and she's not to have or usurp authority over the man. That's why she can't be an elder, because the elder is a leadership position. She violates this passage when she does this. Now, in 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, then, it says, "A bishop then must be the husband of one wife," because it's a leadership role. Since when can a woman be a husband? Now, I'm still working on Floyd's first speech. I didn't quite get through that. He made the argument basically that culture changes like dressing modestly. And he gave some illustrations about women wearing dresses down to the floor, and these women over maybe in Africa that didn't cover their upper parts of their body. And it depends on where you were or what was modest. That's his basic argument. Floyd, I think you will agree with this when I put it this way, but you may not. But the truth of the matter is that there was always a line, as far as dressing modestly, that's too far to go. Now, I may not know where that line is. I can tell you exactly how far a dress has to come down by the inches. That's the Bible, but I'm not sure it tells us the inch. That doesn't mean, though, that we can't tell a bikini is wrong. That is beyond the line. And it doesn't matter what country you're in, that's beyond the line. So there was a line, no matter what age of the world you're in, no matter what country you're in, there was a line. Sometimes people were more conservative than the actual line, more scrupulous, and that was fine. Many times they did that because, as we've read from passages like Romans 14 and 1 Corinthians 8, it's not because they thought that the line was that far down, maybe the dress to the ankles, but they didn't want to offend others who might think that, even though they didn't think the line was there. The line never changed. Sometimes people dress more conservatively than the line, for reasons like Romans 14 teaches us. But then when they go above the line, they're in sin. Now, Floyd made the argument then that it was just a cultural matter. It changes in culture. But let's look at what the Bible says. First of all, by this reasoning, you can pretty much throw out the whole New Testament, Floyd, because all of it is written in the first century. So if it was just touching on cultural matters, and that's all, just regulating culture, then none of it applies today because the culture is totally different here than there 2,000 years ago and today. But you remember before there was ever any culture, in Genesis 2, verse 16, what God said to Eve, He says, "Your husband shall rule over you." There was no culture at that time. None had developed. No culture whatsoever. And God said to the first woman, "Your husband will rule over you." Now, in, we'll just guess, 6 to 10,000 years later, we don't know how long, the evolutionists will say millions, but whatever it is, culture has developed immensely since then. And yet, the Bible still says now that the husband is the head of the wife in Ephesians 5. We just went over that on the last chart. So the husband was the head of the wife when there was no culture. Culture developed for thousands and thousands of years. And it was still the same. The Bible was not meant to regulate or dictate cultural matters. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will guide you to all the truth, John 16, 13, not etiquette. The Bible was not intended for just one period of time. Instead, it was written to apply throughout the rest of history, the rest of dispensation. 1 Peter 1:25, the word of the Lord endures forever. So it's not ever changing like you think that it is, Floyd. If it were, then the homosexuals would be okay as they are. The Bible reason, if you turn to 1 Timothy 2, let me turn over there. In 1 Timothy 2, when it says the husband is not to, the woman is not to teach nor usurp authority over the man, it gives a reason. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. That goes all the way back to creation. That hadn't changed. Therefore, the prohibition of women teaching or usurping authority over the man hasn't changed. The reason was not because there was a certain problem going on in Corinth. We talked about that in depth in my last speech. You brought it up again in this, your past speech. The problem was not that there was a certain problem going on that, in a particular problem that Paul was addressing with Timothy. And I mean by that that it only applied to them at that time and it doesn't apply to us today. He said, she's not to do this because Adam was first formed in Eve. He didn't say, because there's some people in your culture that don't agree with this, so you better not do it. He didn't say that. He could have, but he didn't. He said, for Adam was first formed in Eve. And that hadn't changed. And then, as I pointed out last time, 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 35, he didn't tell the women to keep silence in the church because there were some people in that area of the world that thought it was wrong for women to speak, and that's the only reason. But now it's okay. He said, this is a commandment of the Lord, verse 37. The things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now, talking about homosexuality, Floyd said he married a woman, and that should tell us where he is on the homosexual issue. I think he meant he was opposed to it. I'm going to assume he is. Floyd, since you're opposed to homosexuality, meaning you believe that it's a sin and that people ought to try to repent of it and get out of it, does that mean that their argument, when they compare, they say our prejudice against homosexuals, that's what they call us saying that it's a sin and people need to repent of it. When they compare, quote, our prejudice against homosexuals with prejudice that whites had against blacks years ago, does that mean their argument is false? It would, wouldn't it? You're opposed to homosexuality. They make the argument that that us being, quote, prejudiced against homosexuals is just like whites being prejudiced against blacks years ago, you must disagree with that argument, because if that argument is true, it proves homosexuality is okay. But if homosexuality is not okay, that proves that argument is false. But now that's the same argument you make for women preachers today. You compared it, us, quote, being prejudiced against women, that's what you call what we do when we say a woman ought to be silent in the church, she's not to teach nor usurp authority over the man. When we teach the Bible on that, you say you're prejudiced against women just like the whites were against the blacks 50 years ago. But now, if that argument is wrong when the homosexuals use it, then it's wrong when you use it in the same way. Do you see the point? You need to address that. And then he says, what does silence mean there? What about singing? Well, first of all, let me say, singing is prohibited by 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 35. The women are going to have to quit doing it in the assembly. I don't believe that it does. The normal uses of the word sing, to utter words or sounds in succession with musical modulations of the voice, speak, to utter words or articulate sounds with the ordinary voice, or talk. Yeah, we can use the word speak to refer to singing, but normally we don't. If I said I'm going to hear Barbara Streisand speak, we would think we're going to hear her lecture, not sing. We could talk about that all day, but what if this verse had read this way? Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to sing. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law, and if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to sing in the church. Now, if it had said that, I would be opposed to women singing in the church. Would you, Floyd? Would you be opposed to women singing, congregational singing? Would you say they'd have to refrain from that if the verse had said this? They're not to sing in the church. They're not. What would you think? I would be opposed to it. Would you? I don't think you would. Even if the verse said it's not permitted for them to sing in the church, it's a shame for them to sing in the church, I believe you would still allow them to sing, because it says when it does say this in relation to the word speak, you allow them to speak. So he brought up about the women's confessing Christ verbally, confessing their sin in the assembly. Wes Floyd knows I'm opposed to that. But suppose you and I disagreed on that. That's not the issue tonight. We do disagree on that. I'm opposed to that. But that's not really the issue tonight. Some of us may disagree about what speaking would entail, whether or not it would include singing, or whether or not it would include confessing Christ or confessing their sin in the assembly. We may have disagreement on that. But I think all of us, including you, understand when he says not to speak, that would at least mean they're not to preach the sermon, and that's the issue tonight. There's no way a woman could preach the sermon without violating that command not to speak. When we go into church or we're going to class, a school class, and say, who's speaking? We're not talking about who's speaking tonight. We're not talking about somebody whispering to their child from their seat at their seat. We're talking about who's addressing the assembly. Who's speaking tonight? Well, it's Floyd Rose and Pat Donahue. So who's speaking tonight? And that's what that's talking about. The woman is not to address the assembly. And he says, what about some women that don't have husbands? Because it says they're to ask their husbands at home. Well, if you look at 1 Corinthians 11, verse 34, talking about not to eat in the church assembly, it says let them eat at home. Does that mean they can't eat at a restaurant? No, that's not what it's saying. What he's doing, the prohibition is don't eat when the church is assembled. That's what he's saying. Don't do that. And then he gives them a place they can eat. A typical place. Not the only place. You can eat at home, though. That's okay. He's not saying, but you can't eat at a restaurant. He's saying, you can't eat while the church is assembled. This common meal to satisfy hunger. But you can't eat at home. That's not the only place. And it's the same way in 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35. He's trying to say the women are not to speak in the assembly. And then he gives them a typical place they can ask it. You can ask the question to your husband at home. It doesn't mean they can't ask the question to the preacher at the restaurant. They can do that too. What he's trying to say is don't ask it in the church assembly. You're to be silent there. Now here's a place you can ask it. You can ask it to your husband at home. But that's not the only place you can ask it. And I think Floyd knows that. Maybe he's just trying to throw us off. And then he says, well, why in the situation where they were giving thanks, the lady there that wasn't a Christian asked, why can't they give thanks when they bought the food, prepared the food? Why can't they give thanks for the food? They can give thanks for the food. When we eat together, a man leaves giving up the thanks, but the women are praying the same prayer. He's just speaking out the words. She's giving thanks also. She ought to be giving thanks for the food. The men just lead the prayer. And that's because 1 Corinthians 11 verse 3 says the head of the woman is the man. And 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12 says the women are not to usurp authority over the men. So they don't lead over the men in the prayer or in the Sunday school classes or in the church assembly by leading the class or the sermon. They don't lead over the man. And that's why the men lead the prayer. But all of them pray. All of them give thanks, men and women.